financial constraint, will have to pay for their accommodation. So I'm sure it's something that can be prevented. Prevention is better than cure. All right, okay. Thank you very much. Shall we now ask Professor Mosia, have I pronounced your name correctly this time, to brief us on the strat plan and their budget. But then, as we take notes, I want us to focus. Remember, this session is about the strat plan and the budget. We have a, I think the future is long with them. So in the next meeting, we can then look at other performance areas. But for now, and guided by the time constraint, let's just focus on the plan, the APP, and the budget. Agreed? Thank you very much. We will then hand over to Prof to take us through the APP of the Council of Higher Education.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And I think upfront I need to put an apology for the CEO of the CHE, Mr. Ahmed Isop, who could not be with us this afternoon. He has another engagement in Zimbabwe, and we couldn't spend more money to get him back here. But a part of the presentation will be done by me, just introductory contextual points, and then the Director of Monitoring and Evaluation, Dr. Webstock, will take us through, and then the CFO will do the budget piece. I mean, I think positive news about CHE is that we don't deal with those billions that we've been dealing with the other time. Our budget is very, very minuscule. So, Chair, if you look at our strategic imperatives slide over there, we pretty much have been established by the Act, the Higher Education Act and the NQF Act, and to contribute towards informing policy and influencing all the debates that are happening in higher education, particularly for transformation and the overhaul of the entire system. So we are recognized, we should be recognized as a center for information and policy analysis as the CHE. And secondly, one of the strategic imperatives is to contribute towards the development of our quality assurance model as it has been approved since the new dispensation in the country. And this model is hinging on three pillars, really, which are the steering mechanism. It's quality on the one hand, planning on the other, and then funding on the other. So we are the custodians of quality assurance in higher education to enable the system to function in a credible manner. And thirdly, we also supposed to contribute towards our entire qualification structure for the development of our human resources. And we are usually known for big words in higher education. And those of you who may not be familiar with the HEQSF, it's a higher education qualification sub-framework, which is a structure that we have to actually monitor our qualifications, especially across the post-school education and training system as we have it now. And of course, central to that is looking at standards and the quality of provisioning of these programs with our partners in higher education. And lastly, Chair, on the imperatives, we have a mandate to contribute towards the intellectual capability of the CHE. We're conducting research, we're doing all sorts of projects within the organization to improve the climate within which we operate so that we have integrity, independence and credibility in the work that we do. Those are just the introductory remarks for the strategic imperative. And the next slide, I will request Dr. Webstock to take us through it. with all the other projects that we have on the table. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. They say brevity is the soul of wit. I may not be witty, but I'll try to be brief. Essentially, the CHG, as you all have heard, does three things. One is about providing advice and doing research into the sector. The second is about carrying out quality assurance. And the third has recently been given us via the NQF Act, which is to look after the quality of qualifications through the qualifications framework. So I'm just going to... Our goals are set out in relation to those strategic imperatives, and I'm just going to pick out one or two in relation to each of those. So in relation to the first, which is about the policy analysis imperative, I think the two most important that we are dealing with at the moment and will be in the rest of the year are the one about looking at what can we do about the very poor throughput rates that we have in higher education. We've researched that, we've looked at that, we've had a task team come up with a proposal, I'm sure you might have heard of that in the media, and the proposal is really to see if we can take all the interventions that have happened over the last 20 years to scale through extending our three and our undergraduate curricula, essentially. And we've looked at what that costs, and at the moment we've had feedback from all the institutions, most of which think it's a very good idea, some of which don't, but all of whom are filled with trepidation, thinking, where will we find the staff to do this in particular, and how will we get over many of the logistical difficulties? So at the moment we have a team that's looking at the logistical difficulties, and on the basis of that, we will then provide advice to the Minister about whether we should adopt this as a national strategy or not. And how we would implement. The other is about, and you will know that, we've had many institutions in the last number of years facing governance challenges and had to go under administration via the DHET. And we've been doing some research into trying to understand, are there common factors, what is the issue? And so we've done some background research on that. And looked at what is happening internationally in terms of good practice of councils. And so the second piece of advice that will be coming out is in relation to how do we deal with these governance crises and do we have the right mechanisms to actually manage those. And then in relation to those, we also have publications that come out. I won't go into those because they are related, although there are some that have to do with data, and a series of workshops. I'm flipping ahead now to the second one, Thuli, which is about managing the higher education qualification sub-framework and standards in higher education. Two main things there. The one is, and there's all this jargon here that you will probably look at and think, what is that? Category A's and Category B programs. Essentially what we're doing is taking all the programs that are offered in higher education institutions and putting them on the same framework. They've been on different frameworks, the UOTs, universities of technology, universities, and under different regimes in the past, as you know. And now we're putting all 10,500 of them onto the same framework, which is a 5 or 6 year process. Halfway through that, we've probably done over 5,000 at the moment. The more difficult ones are still to come. So that will be taking up a lot of time in 2014. And then we also, at the level of programs and qualifications, have restarted a program that you might well have known, the CHE 4, which was national reviews. The last big one that we did was teacher education. The one before that was the MBA. And in the last year, we have looked, and you will be interested in this, Chair, the social work programs across the country. And those reports on each program are due to go out to each of the institutions involved. And following on from that, we will have an overall report on the state of education and social work in higher education. We're looking, obviously, at further ones, looking at the LLB and a few others that are mentioned there. And then... this is an ongoing function. We collect data from the private providers on student enrollments and achievements, and SACWA manages on our behalf a database of those which feed into the NLRD. So we have been doing quite a bit of work to extend that system to get more information on the private sector to match that we have on the public sector. It's not easy because we can't really comply privates to participate. Most of them do. I think 98% of them do, but the records that we get are not necessarily verifiable, and that's the difficulty. And then in quality assurance, which is the other main area of activity, we have shifted from institutional audits for the moment. In the institutional audits program, we went to institutions to look at their policies, processes, procedures, and so on to make sure that they had ways to assure their own quality, because quality lies with institutions. But we have, on the basis of our first cycle of audit, which took about 10 years, learned that there are a lot of teaching and learning issues, and now we're having a very focused program, which is a quality enhancement program, which is a collaborative program with institutions, getting them to work with us and with each other, which is not easy. Looking at very focused areas about academics as teachers, student support and development, the student learning environment, and enrollment management. And so they are coming up, the institutions are coming with their first submissions in September of this year, and then there's a whole series of activities planned after that, with a view to improving quality within those institutions. Then, as part of the quality assurance, we also, this is a routine function, and it's a big function, probably one of our biggest, and that's accrediting new programs in the system. We, on a yearly basis, probably get 400-odd applications, and those we send out to peer evaluators. All of our processes rely on academic peers in the system. And those we would send to peer evaluators and then to peer committees, and goes through a very elaborate process before they are accredited, and then they will be funded because they're by the department or registered with the department if they're private. And then I talked about the national reviews, so I won't go on to that too much because we are simply finalising the Bachelor of Social Work at the moment. And then, of course, we have some ongoing quality promotion work. We run annually two sets of quality assurance forums for different bodies, private, public, professional bodies. And we have ongoing training for all our evaluators. You will see, you might look at the budget and look at all those consultants. They're not really consultants. There isn't a better line item for them. But they are peers, academic peers in the system who do work for us and who are remunerated to some extent, although I'd have to say most of our work is done on a voluntary basis. So, for example, and I think I skipped that, which is weird, it's my project, the 20-year review of higher education, we have at the moment some 50 academics working on that. They do that voluntarily. We do, however, we've paid 7 writers, I think, who have pulled the various chapters together. And that will be coming out either later this year or the beginning of 2015. And the last is, of course, to make all of that happen, we need also to concentrate on the organizational climate, get all our policies sorted, make sure we're good with the AG, and all of those things, and also make sure that the staff are happy in their wellness programs and so on. So there's been quite a big focus on that as well.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the budget for the organization, as the Chair indicated, we don't have billions but millions to take care of. I'll just quickly just show members how is our budget been allocated for the entire MTF period. It is very critical and important for the members to note that we had about 42 million, which was the MTEF allocation. But based on the MTF allocation, because of the priorities and also the needs
from us as CHA. We top up our own budget by trying to make sure that we try to address all the needs identified and make service delivery achievable. Our budget went from 42 to 51. This is the additional amount that we have included in the MTF allocation. Now, it is a shortfall when you look at it, because the question is that we have a shortfall about 8.4 million. And how are we going to fund this shortfall? Hence, we are saying it must be noted by this House that there is a directorate called Standard Development, where the money was allocated by the Department of Higher Education to us, which was not fully spent. So that amount was included, and it amounts to about 2.6 million. So if we take out that 2.6 from the shortfall indicated as 8.4, you remain with a shortfall of 5.8 million. And we have a detail in terms of how are we really going to fund the 5.8 million that we have identified. Take into account that our COE, which is personnel cost, will not be utilized for the entire financial year. So we have prorated the savings that we anticipate, because as we are speaking now, we are in July. That means almost a quarter has been gone, and some of the positions are not yet filled. So we have tapped into the savings that we are going to realize from the personnel, and also the interest that we are going to receive from our investment, and also the rollovers of funds that we had from the prior years, which is about 850,000, and accreditation revenue, which is about 3.5. Take into account that this revenue, it will fluctuate. Last year we had about 4, and here we're anticipating 3.5. So we said, based on those grounds, we'll fund the shortfall of 5.8 from those funding. And just to indicate to the House that the concern from us as CHE is that the MTF allocation, and I think the department is aware, is not enough to cater for our needs or our mandate. If we look at the MTF allocation, it won't longer sustain CHE without rollover funds. We have been trying to survive because we have been rolling off funds from year to year, and this assisted us to increase the MTF allocation to make sure that we achieve our objectives. In terms of the allocation for the year, which is linked to the APP and also linked to the strategic plan, is that the personnel cost total value is about 29 million, and the goods and services, caters for all spending items, amounts to about 26, and in total it amounts to 51 million point one. And if you look at this, the personnel cost is almost 52% of our total budget, while our goods and services is 4 point something. And this is informed by the fact that we need to have more resources to do our work. But the challenging factor is that we need more money to be able to achieve in terms of our mandate, which is a challenge for us. But for now, we are trying to win. But I'm saying, Chair, moving forward for the next MTF periods, I think I'm happy that the DG is here, that we'll really need to look and in terms of the funding. Otherwise, it simply says that we need to reduce our priorities to make sure that we fall within the MTF allocation. And I think it's for the members to note the budget that has been allocated for the year, and hoping that, as the chair, I heard you when the other public entity was presenting. We cannot talk about now. I think I need to highlight this. This is just to give you the picture of the allocation. In the next sitting in August or September, as is mandated by this parliament, we'll be coming back to you in terms of how did we spend our last year figures and what are the issues. And we'll be in a position to even present to you what is the final audit outcome of our operations. And that can only be done during September or October sitting, after we have received the final report. But for now, because the audit process is ongoing. We'll only receive the final management report at the end of July. So I think I need to highlight that so that members can know that. But in terms of, yes, we have a shortfall, but we have means in terms of how are we going to address the shortfall moving forward for this current financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the presentation. I will now invite honourable members to interact with these presentations on the strat plan and the budget, but also there were strategic overviews by the professor. And remember, we've got time constraint. If we can be short and to the point and focus just on the plan and the budget. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Ms. Killian.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you also for the document that we've received beforehand. It's very interesting, and due to time, I will not go into the detail. I just wanted to ask, if at all possible, if you have copies available of your publications, it would help us as a new committee to also get a better understanding of your strategic goals and what you are focusing on, because in some of the documentation, reference was made to some publications that you have commenced with, but it's good to see that they have been completed. So it would help. Thank you, Chairperson. And then secondly, just clarity, it's understood what is meant with the fact that we've already done sort of, well, how many months of the new financial year, and that all posts are not filled, and that therefore you're expecting to have some savings on personnel expenditure, compensation of employees, etc. That is understood. Is that not going to negatively affect your work and your goals? Will you be able to achieve those strategic objectives if you do not fill those positions? Because you see, Treasury is quite strict. You seem to be functioning quite well without certain posts filled. They will in time to come say, do you really need them? So just a question as far as that is concerned. Do you foresee that with additional or the expansion of your mandate that you will need those additional posts and that you will have to fill them in the next financial year and that you would therefore have to press very hard for an additional allocation? But as for the last question, Chairperson, just to understand that your colloquial workshops, etc., that has been budgeted for, is that under goods and services, and that is adequately budgeted for so that you won't have to cancel any of those going ahead? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, any other question? Prof?
Thanks, Chair. It's a pity that you are working with a shortfall, but I see that the work that we are doing it's very crucial for our education, and because we are not only trying to come up with policy, but the interventions thereof are very, very crucial for our education. I want to know from you, because I know that there is some other data that is not available here, whether you have intervened by way of coming up with peer learning for tertiary institutions, higher learning institutions, because, you know, at the beginning of the year, it has become a norm that we have students sitting, strikes, riots that take a very long time, and in the process there is no learning. I know that this might be touching on student governance, student politics, and also on academic leadership and governance general or administration of an institution. And I do think that there's a need for some peer learning, because there are institutions where I don't say that they don't have issues, but we see a plethora of insurrections, ructions, and to some extent that even the property of institutions is damaged. So I would think therefore you have done, you call the institutions to do some peer learning, where they come together and learn from one another. And the second issue, that's why I say the work you are doing is very crucial. It is very painful at some point to hear some, you'd hear of institutions that are offering degrees or diplomas that are not so well accredited. And not only, because it's not only a degree or a diploma and a certificate that must be accredited, even the module. It's, you know, after students have studied and find that some modules were not accredited. I know that your work will have also a bearing on SAQA and QF, registration of units, standards and all that. So I would wish that you somehow touch on that. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
One is, I thought from looking at this budget, but I may be wrong, that your shortfall was bigger than the how the budget shortfall will be funded. I thought your shortfall was something around 9 million and you've only got 5 million to fund it. Or have I read it wrongly? So if I have, apologies. The second one is, I'm sure everybody on this committee is dying to see your vital statistics, as you call them. And we would like to know urgently when they will be available and how do we get access to them. And then lastly, you know, there was something missing in your whole report, and that was the word excellence. There is very little sense that the CHE is worried about excellence. It seems to be much more concerned about the bottom end of things, where we are failing, we are not doing well, and not as concerned with what it started out with, which was the top end. How do we become excellent? How do we get the best institutions in the world? And I'm very sad to see that that is gone, and just wondered if I could just make the point that it is something noticeable. I haven't looked at CHE documents for a few years, and it's a noticeable change. Just a comment that was. Thank you.
Okay, looking at the budget, I'm battling to understand, but I'm sure you'll educate me and make me cleverer on this one. Where you say MTF allocation, meaning that in the previous financial year, in terms of the MTF, this is what you had budgeted for. And then where you talk about actual budget allocation, to me says, this is money that was allocated. But you say actual budget allocation by... Okay, so you budgeted for money you don't have. Am I... Come again? Because in terms of budget principles, you don't plan for money you don't have.
Yes. I will explain when I respond to that question, because it's going to address what the honourable member was also asking in terms of the shortfall.
And then I'm trying to also understand if the budget shortfall that you are referring to, if these are not accruals, didn't you bring this over from the previous?
No.
It's not. Okay, fine. Let me not talk about accruals. And then where you talk about personnel savings, immediately it says to me there are vacancies. And obviously these are funded vacancies. So what has been the problem? Why have you not been filling these vacancies? Because you can't be excited that you're going to get money. This money was supposed to be used, was budgeted for a certain purpose, and it has not been used. And then whether in terms of budget principles, it is allowed that you can do a variant on personnel budget. Is it allowed on personnel budget? And then now if you say you're going to use this money, to me it sounds like you're going to do a variant so that this saving from personnel budget can rescue you somewhere in your budget. So please explain, because I'm sure you understand, but I am not sure if we're doing the right thing there. And then I just want to check if what is your vacancy rate Because now we've been made aware there are vacancies. Remember, for you to implement your plan, you need all your personnel so that they can assist in the actual implementation and achievement of your objectives, your strategic objectives. So what is the vacancy rate? Where CHE has been busy with the cleanup process of reaccreditation of programs, were there any programs which accreditation was withdrawn? Okay, that would be our take. If you may, I will then invite you to respond to those questions raised by the honourable members.
Chair, I'll start with the easier ones. I think the vacancy rate, as far as it has been reported to the board, is about 9%. A total of 53 staff, and the vacancies are 14. We have 49 people, and the difference is the vacancy of 14. So 9 people, 9%. So we have in fact advertised some of these positions. The problem is, in order to attract and compete with universities, the CHE is not able to afford very good people to come and do the work. But it is on course to fill up all these vacancies as urgently as possible. Regarding the publications, yes, we have quite a number of publications, which I think is not a problem for us to submit to the committee. Even the latest ones, we are working on the latest version of the vital stats, but we have the current one, which could also be helpful. And I'm sure the office can send this over to the committee to look at. The question around the strategic objectives and not filling the positions, I think we are trying our best to do the best. The thing is, doing more with less kind of approach. But it is a risk for us not to have the requisite number of people to assist us. And as you heard from our presentation, we have a heavy reliance on the peers in the sector to assist us to do our work. And obviously, if people are not willing to assist, it could be a big problem. And the question on peer learning, you might have seen in our presentation that we're doing some work on student governance, academic leadership, and all of these issues put together. And also we are trying to look at the entire 20-year period in this report that we'll show later in the year, to actually see how best we can have strategies to ameliorate the kinds of problems that we have. And I don't want to go into the details of what causes some of the problems at these institutions. I have been an administrator at China University of Technology, which is a real jungle if you really have to run a university. With some of the things that are happening there, you should understand. But yes, we have an effort to actually get all the groupings together to actually learn from one another, to advance the project that we have nationally. And the issue of excellence, I think it is in a way embedded in how we do our work, Professor. From our notions of quality as an institution that is a custodian of quality assurance, excellence is one of the things that are embedded there. But I understand the approach that you have to actually lift it up as one of the issues that we should be looking at, and not be worried about too much that is not excellence, and just look mediocre in the eyes of other people. But but yes, we are looking into that. I'll leave some other questions to Denise and Tuli. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think you've dealt with most of them. About the peer learning, that's a very big part of the quality enhancement project, because student enrollment is one of the issues that we're looking at, areas that we're focusing on, and how different institutions cope with those annual concerns, and what are the best management practices there. And so it is all about sharing better practice. There's no best practice, but better practice, and trying to learn from each other in that sense. So that's a very big part of the quality enhancement project. But it's also a big part of the 20-year review, because we have, for example, the group that's been working on management and governance challenges, and we also have a project of student governance. And all of those things are looking at those issues. And we're seeing lots of different projects tying up so that we can start to understand the issues better and probably give some good advice both to the minister and to institutions on that. About the accreditation, we look at accreditation of whole qualifications, not at the level of modules. That's at the institutional level. So we wouldn't be able to say that unit, we don't work in unit standards at all, like SACWA. We look at the whole qualification. So we would be able to say, yes, that institution is accredited to offer a degree in veterinary science. But we wouldn't know necessarily about every single module. Not at that national level. There's 10,500 programs. If we took it to modules, it gets exponential. And yes, we do not accredit quite a lot of things, actually, which engenders more work for us, because we then send them back and say, you need to do A, B, and C, and then we need to monitor all of those conditions, representations that come back and say, yes, but we've now sorted that particular problem. But then sometimes we accredit with conditions, and we have to monitor those over a number of years as well. So that's also a whole lot of work on that. And with existing programs in the national review, yes, it does come to it that we say that this program is on notice of withdrawal unless you do A, B, and C, and we will withdraw accreditation if those things aren't done.
To respond to the questions relating to finance, the question around the workshops, are they budgeted for years? Goods and services covers all other expenditures except personnel. It can be workshops, it can be anything that deals with what the directories are doing to achieve their mandate or the objective of their directorate. So it's included, ma'am. Mostly we spend our funds more on catering, and also when we have panel members that we request from other institutions to assist in terms of our work, we'll have to pay them for the traveling and all other things and accommodation. So all the workshops have been budgeted for. The other point that was raised, or the question that was raised, is just to explain the shortfall. Let me just pause a little bit here and focus so that members can understand. EMTF allocation from Department of Higher Education was 42 million. And this allocation is a grant that we receive from Department of Higher Education. SHE, they are a source of income that we receive annually. So for us to say we have a shortfall or a savings, we also need to take into account the anticipated, it's just like local governments, where the budget for the receival of income while the actual income is not yet received. So basically we are saying we know for sure we are going to receive this money. What can happen is that maybe the accreditation revenue can be higher than what we are saying we are going to achieve, which will reflect in our books as time goes by. But actually what we are saying, when we talk about actual budget allocation, it has considered the anticipated income that we are going to receive for the year. Hence, we are trying to compare the MTF allocation against the actual allocation in terms of our records when we are going to receive the income. Now, I think I did explain that in total, when you talk about actual budget allocation, it's about 51. And I'm saying the 51 is inclusive of the standard a directorate budget which was allocated by Department of Higher Education. where in this particular 51 we are saying the 2.6 is still a rollover which was not used. So if you take it, the 51 minus the 2.6, you are going to have a difference, a shortfall of 8 minus 2 is going to be 5. And out of 5, that's when I'm trying to answer the question from the chair. We are saying we are going to fund the following personal savings, and which is a good question to say, are you allowed to move personal savings to make a environment to other goods and services, which is not the case. But Chair, and I think this is what we never said in our presentation, we have a 10 million rollover of funds which we have requested to Department of Higher Education. And as I'm speaking to you now, we did receive the approval. So you will realize that at the end of the year, I can guarantee maybe come next year, we'll be still talking about rollover funds for the next financial year. Because we have the prior year rollover of funds which was not fully utilized for the year. Why? Because our project in terms of directorates is not ones of projects. Our project that carries through to the next financial year. Hence, the National Treasury approved the request for rollover funds, because you only approve the rollover of funds if they relate to the project, a project that are carrying through to the other financial years. They won't just approve projects that were supposed to be ones of done in a year. But if you have projects and you can prove to Treasury that you're still going to embark on this project, Treasury will gladly just approve that to say, because they want to see you completing the project that we have embarked on. So I wanted to explain the issue around the shortfall. So the actual shortfall, if we go ahead with this, it will be 5 million. But we are going to make sure that it's funded through issues or through the sources that I have just highlighted. The accruals, I think we are on accrual system as a public entity. They have been catered for in our books. And accrual is that immediately when you have expense or receive the goods, it's expense already. So it's an issue of a cash flow. We're talking about now paying something to a supplier. It's a cash flow issue, which is covered in terms of our book. So I think, let me just clarify the issue. The vacancy, as the chair indicated, I don't think is a problem. What we did in terms of personnel, we are saying the position that here is referring to, we won't be filled now, but we are busy trying to fill the position. So we are going to make sure that even though they are not yet completed at the beginning of the year, we'll make sure that our objectives are achieved. And I think that is the focus that we are engaging on. And because it's only about 4 people, we don't think it will really negatively impact on our operations. And I think the last one was about the issue around the, I think it was on environment also, but I'm saying, yes, Chair, you are right. But if you have a business case to Treasury, they tend to listen to what you are saying. So we did submit our business case, which was approved and which we are happy with. The indication, Chair, I think when we come September, October, to the same forum or to the same committee, will be in a position to say, this is the picture, and trying to refer to what I said today in terms of the rollover of funds and how has the money been allocated and why we didn't spend the money. But I can safely say today is because of the project that we embark on, which is carried through to the next financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I know we've got time constraint. I'm still not convinced, Bob, on your explanation. I still don't understand, how do you budget for a shortfall? Because as far as I'm concerned, you use what you have and you budget basing it on what you have. And then I know in terms of incremental budgeting, then you would then be allocated. But remember, you are educating me, so please don't be patient with me. You have to educate me so that when I talk to you, I must talk straight, you know, and be factual. I still don't understand, why do you have an actual budget allocation which has got a shortfall in it? Actual budget. And you know what, as you were explaining, you then talked about anticipated increase. If you anticipate increase, if that increase is not there, so you only talk about what you have. You're supposed to reflect what you have, because I think you've created yourself problems here. That's my understanding. I know I'm not so, you know, but
You may come in.
Thank you, Jefferson. Yes, actually, I would like to also just probe a little further. And as you have indicated, the CFO mustn't become impatient with us. I mean, we're busy with a higher education, and we also need to be educated on these matters. I just wanted to make sure he made reference to a prior year rollover. Now, if there is such a prior year rollover, it must be reflected somewhere. And then I would like to suggest that something is wrong with the presentation then, with great respect. If we cannot see exactly, because how you've calculated it and the chairperson's question with regards to how do you budget for a shortfall in the public sector, as far as where we come from, it's not allowed. You can't budget for a shortfall, except if you say you have had savings in a prior year and those amounts have been requested for Treasury for a rollover to the new financial year, and then therefore it reflects in your budget for the next year. So I really feel a little uncomfortable about this, because I think it is not correct. The Treasury regulations and the PFMA are extremely strict and rigid on environments and budget shortfall budgeting. You can get away with that in the private sector, but not in the public sector. So I think your probing, chairperson, is appropriate.
Just to address the fears from.
Okay,
the
but before you come in, Prof.
Yes, Chairperson, I want to concur with you on the issue of firemen's, because I see the whole thing is leading to there. Yeah. Now, the CFO is saying they've submitted a plan to Treasury and is hip about it, but that does not mean that Treasury has given you money. You have budgeted on the money that you don't have. Quite frankly, I'm not convinced as well.
Okay.
I'm really excited about your probing, Honourable Chairperson.
Okay, Prof, you can come in.
In my view, this is a problem of the way things are set out rather than a problem of budgeting. Because I would say what you've done is you've said this is what the MTEF says we will get. These are other sources of income. That is, so the MTEF is not a budget. The MTEF is an allocation that is done formally. What we don't have, but I may be wrong, but we don't seem to have a budget with income which includes the income that you're projecting as part of the budget. So by comparing it to the MTEF, I think that's what's misled us into thinking. It's a layout question. Thank you.
Okay. I do want you to say something. Yes, please explain so that we are clarified on these issues.
Chair, perhaps I think, as indicated by the last member, I think that's partly the problem. First of all, the MTF allocation needs to read rather the MTF grant by the department. That's a subsidy that we gave you yesterday, which is paid to CHE. The actual budget allocation that I refer to should be budget. Forget the word allocation. So that is what the CHE budget, the expenditure would be 51.1 million and not only the 42.6 that they receive as a subsidy from us. So in terms of the budget for expenditure, let's use the word to make it easy, they've got a shortfall of 8 million. But it's not really a shortfall. The reality is they had savings in previous years which Treasury approved they can maintain. So they've got reserve funds, and basically the 8 million is taken from reserves and fund the budget shortfall. So in principle, there's no shortfall in the budget, because they budget for a certain amount which is funded by the subsidy by the department plus existing reserves. So there is not really a budget shortfall. The money that they utilize for this 8 million comes out of the reserves. That is
I think, the answer to the problem.
So there's no budget shortfall.
So there is no budget shortfall. That is the principle of the matter. The issue of environment, perhaps just to explain that, because I think that's a very critical issue, is the environment rules by Treasury. In the Treasury instructions as well as in the PFMA, is only applicable at this point in time to departments and not to public entities. So I think that's perhaps for the committee something to note. Departments are not allowed to use a saving under compensation of employees to fund any other area within your budget. A public entity can still do it with the approval of the council of that entity. Thank you, Chair.
You see, we, Prof, you can rest assured, we are better off now in terms of understanding these matters. We are one of them. No, that's fine. So which then means we will request that then this be corrected and be resubmitted, a corrected version be resubmitted. But also there was a question raised there, that in terms of a rollover, it will not just be for a new project that is to start in the following year. It's a recurring project, and that money will be committed. That's why you would then qualify to have a rollover. Is it committed already? Yes, then get a rollover. But where is that reflected here? It's a 10%, because it must, it's money. We've got to see every cent, so that when you come back to account, we look at how you have used the money up to the last cent.
The time when we were invited for this presentation, we by then we did not have an actual approval from Treasury. And we cannot reflect something which is not yet approved by Treasury and reflect it in our presentation. Hence, when I presented, I said, Treasury, just recently, I saw the letter this week to say, everything is okay, the money is available. And Chair, can I get clarity? When you are saying redone, are you saying in terms of the wording that was reflected here, or what are you actually referring to, so that we can do the correct thing? Because I'm missing the issue of resubmission. What needs to be actually done so that we can capture it correctly and adjust it according to the request of this House?
Well, in our engagement, it became clear that there's certain information that was not supposed to be here, because then it's misleading. So we talk about recrafting. I'm sure CFO, you can assist there.
Yeah, Chair, I think the issue is not to reflect the shortfall, because there is not a thing like a budget shortfall. You would reflect your total budget for expenditure and which sources of revenue do you use to fund your budget. So that would be the department subsidy plus own reserves, and how those own reserves are utilized. I think that would address the committee's problem.
Great. That's a value add to your work. You started this work, but, you know, just polishing here and there. You'll be surprised. We all are learning every day, and we accept, because it means further growth. But thank you so much. I'm sure we have exhausted all the questions, and thank you for your adequate responses. We really appreciate. But then where you've spoken about the budget shortfall, I know that in our engagement with the department, we then have said we are going to make a recommendation on the additional funding to the department. Now, do we assist you, or you will be assisted via the department by making a recommendation, or you'll be assisted via the department? If they can allocate you sufficient funding.
Yes, I think with the role that we are playing, the council together with the department are engaging on this issue and take it from there.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we'll be in a position to report back what is the latest development in respect of the same issue.
Okay. All right. No, that's fine.
Chair, I think, Chair,
you may come in, Prof.
Yes. I think we need all the help we can get to be funded appropriately to carry this mandate. Because it's quite critical for us to maintain a system that is very credible in higher education if we want to realize the National Development Plan goals that we have and all other policy imperatives. need to have an appropriate structure funded appropriately to carry on this.
Okay.
Yes.
But also as you revisit your budget, also if you can look, we know we have found that there's a lot of wastage on catering and transport and accommodation. Well, I have worked in the old order. In some cases, indeed, there's some cases where you can travel and come back same day. But now, where there are no funds, instead of sleeping, I'm sure people can travel early in the morning and then come back in the afternoon. That's cost curtailment. In Jalobab, even the catering, if you can embark on cost curtailment measures there, whereby sometimes instead of full catering food, just have some, you know. I'm honest. You cut the frills, eh? So that you use what you have for the core business, and then the frills you can still do without. Prof, this is what I was taught, and I'm now sharing it with you. I was taught. I said the same thing to the department. I said, I hear you don't have money, but reprioritize and embark on cost curtailment measures. Can use your Vulindlela tool to check on where you can cut your frills and fat so that you know, you use what you have and you don't get tempted to use what you don't have. Is that asking for too much, CFO? Okay. But I'm saying we're still going to look into how the department can further increase in terms of your incremental budget principle. I saw you shaking. As we ask that they give you more money, if they give you more money, so you'll do the same. Right. Okay. Thank you so much. It was such a fruitful engagement, and we are all happy. When I look at all of you, there are no tensions here. We just will wait for the resubmission of the budget report. It's a budget. Yeah, it's actually a budget, not expenditure report. No, thank you very much. But I'm sure on a quarterly basis, no, the account to the department, am I right? Mm-hmm. And then the department, you'll share with us on their expenditure report. Yeah, that will assist us so that we can also monitor from a distance on, you know, how you are succeeding to implement your plan. Mm-hmm. All right. Next meeting, okay, fine. No, that's fine. Thank you so much. And then the only announcement for the committee is that we will be meeting again on Wednesday next week. No meeting. Tomorrow there's no meeting because the other, yeah, okay, fine. And thank you so much, and may I then declare this meeting closed. And travel safe, those that travel. I pray and God, please make that to be delayed, that flight to be delayed. So that you can find it, Prof.
Yeah, no, you know, we told you.
So we've got a week off from here.
Yes, no problem.
That's
good. We'll inform you when we call you again. But we're preparing for the budget.
You know, just, because I don't think these guys understand 100%, because I understand from the chairperson they wait now for that budget.
Yes.
Before they come with the regulation.